In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, we celebrate what is often called the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But it is a bit odd in terms of a triumphal entry. Jesus hasn't won a battle. Nothing is yet won. And he comes in peace. Over what is he triumphing? And yet, the prophet's words echo, "Behold, your king is coming." The Mossi people of Burkina Faso are very fond of horses. Horses are a symbol of the Mossi royal family. When you see a horse, it recalls how Princess Yenenga was carried away to her bridegroom in the bush, and how they became the mother and father of the Mossi people. And ever since then, a horse recalls the strength and the power of the mighty Mossi people. The tramp and the clatter of horses' hooves proclaims, "Behold, your king is coming. The symbol of your power as a people is coming." Jesus does not come with the clatter and the tramp of galloping horses. Jesus had been in Jerusalem before. At 8 days old, he was brought to the temple to do for him according to the law, to offer the sacrifices, and to receive the sign of the covenant in his flesh, in the shedding of blood in circumcision. Jesus had been in the temple at the Passover when he was 12 years old, when he sat at the feet of the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He had been in the temple when he cleansed the temple of the money changers and the animal sellers, as we read in John chapter 2. He may have been in the temple many other times. He had been in Jerusalem before, but this time was special, because this time he was coming to fulfill the prophet's words. "Behold, your king is coming." You heard the words of the prophet, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. But why should we rejoice? Look around you. This world is a mess. Every day, every hour, we hear wars and rumors of wars. Whether it's Syria or Iran or North Korea or in South America, we live on the brink of war. Famine and flood are everywhere. Much of the world lives one drought away from starvation. We hear about earthquakes and fires and if it weren't bad enough that that the world is a mess, we human beings are a mess. If you don't want to read the news about natural disasters and wars, we hear about gender confusion and gender dysphoria and choosing your own identity. We hear about the craziness that is spouted about how to raise good children. That you should let a child choose his, her, its, theirs, sure gender when he, she, it, they, whatever gets old enough to decide. That you should either let your children run wild, or you need to be right there all the time holding the child's hand, lest anything befall him. There are as many parenting philosophies as there are parents, maybe more. We hear regularly about the disregard for the value of human life from beginning to end. Somehow it has become okay to kill those that we deem disposable. Whether it be the unborn child in the womb, whether it be the so-called unfit, whether that be physically, mentally, or emotionally, or whether it be the aged that we decide are simply unuseful. Behold, your king is coming. Your king is coming. That thought should terrify you. It's like when you were a kid and you stayed home on a school break. Your parents had gone off to work. You goofed around all day. But then at the end of the day, mom calls and says, I'm on my way home. And all of a sudden, in the last half hour, there's a scramble to pick up all of the mess that you'd made throughout the day. Your king is coming. You hear that your king is coming, and you look around. Look at yourself, first of all. Are you ready to meet your king of glory? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments, as the Catechism directs. Are you a son or daughter? Have you honored your parents and other authorities? Have you given them due respect? Do you pray for your parents, for your leaders? Do you thank God for those whom He has put in authority over you because they are His instruments to provide for your needs? Are you a husband or wife? Have you been faithful to your wife in thought, word, and deed? Have you spoken truthfully in love about God's plan for marriage and sex? Does your life and your marriage bear witness to God's gifts? Are you a father or mother? Have you given a good example to your children and to others of the Christian life? Have you dealt with your children or your grandchildren with love and grace? Not exasperating them or sinning in anger. Are you a worker? Have you done your duty to your employer faithfully and honestly? even when it is not enjoyable. Have you contributed to the welfare of others by doing your job and by helping others to do theirs? We could go on and on, but the answer to these questions is no. You have not kept the commandments, and you are not ready to meet the King of Glory. Lord, have mercy, keep him away from us. The thought of meeting the King of Glory is terrifying. But behold, your King is coming. Behold, your King is coming. And that is actually good news. Your King is coming. Righteous and having salvation is he. Your King is coming not to destroy you, but to save you. He is coming not to kill you, but to die for you. Because of the blood of the Lord's covenant with you, he sets you free from sin, death, and the devil. He is coming to do battle with the devil and with his forces. He is coming to do battle not on a battlefield arrayed with war horses and chariots. He is coming to do battle on the cross. And for you, the battle is already won. Jesus has come. Jesus has died, and Jesus has risen. Behold, your King is coming for you. Some people feared Jesus coming. They didn't want to deal with what the coming of the Lord's anointed meant for them. Likewise, many people today fear the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Many people dread dealing with a pastor, even meeting one, because of fear, of shame, and judgment. But like Jesus, your pastor comes to you not to condemn you, but to give you God's gifts. He comes in the name of the Lord to speak peace, the forgiveness of your sins. Your pastor is not the King of Israel, but he does come to you in the name of the Lord. He comes to you to serve you with God's gifts for the forgiveness of your sins. Behold, your King is coming. He is coming this week as we commemorate the events of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. His suffering, death, and resurrection. He is coming as he speaks his word of life and forgiveness through the mouth of his servants. And he is coming again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. But you have already been judged. And you have been declared righteous because of Jesus' blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Behold, your King is coming. And that is good news for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.